Welcome. You are listening to Our Burning Questions, a professional learning podcast where we love to talk about teaching multilingual learners. I'm your host, Colette Ferron Goodwin, and I'm a resource specialist on the ENL team with the Mid-State Regional Bilingual Education Resource Network at OCM BOCES in Syracuse, New York. Thanks for joining us. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Our Burning Questions. The Our Burning Questions for the day are, what is PRILI, Puerto Rican Hispanic Youth Leadership Institute, and what are the many benefits that come from being a part of the Institute? And here to share their thoughts today are two very special guests. With me are Diana Vasquez and Kimberly Rivera Cotto. Welcome, Kimberly. Welcome, Diana.
Hi.
So, Diana, would you mind just introducing yourself very quickly?
Just like Colette said, my name is Diana Vasquez, and I'm the statewide coordinator for the PRILI. We have 7 delegations across the state and many, many students to train.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Rivera-Cotto. I'm an alumni. I participated with the program for a couple years, and I had a great time there.
So happy to have you both here with us today. So we're going to start with Diana, and just so that you can share for our listeners the history of PRILI, and just kind of give us some background as to why PRILI was created.
Sure. We just celebrated our 31st anniversary. So PRILI was born 31 years ago. It was actually born in New York City. Angelo del Toro, an assemblyman who saw the need of Puerto Rican involvement in politics, was the one who created the program. He saw that there were no Hispanics as legislators. So he said, let's do a program where we can train students in politics and knowledge of government, and maybe they will become one of us in the future. So he talked to Carmen Perez Hogan, his dearest friend, and she said, okay, if we're going to do this, we have to spread the program across the state, not just New York City, just like they started. They started in New York City, but then she said, okay, let's do this, but across the state. And that's how come PRILI was born all across the state. When we have the 7 delegations, we have New York City, Western New York, Hudson Valley, Long Island, Monroe, Capital District, and Syracuse, of course.
Which is where we're hailing from right now, and which is where Kimberly is a part of. She was part of the Syracuse District.
Yep.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about the structure of the program. How are students recruited or identified?
This is where Our Burn becomes a very important part of PRILI, because thank God for Our Burns. They work hand in hand with us. They spread the word out either in web pages, using brochures, flyers, anything that we can get in touch with the schools and school districts. And we start offering the trainings to the students. So we start with the first phase, which is train the students. And this takes place in the 7 delegations. It's usually a minimum of 30 hours of training. Kimberly was part of that. Mm-hmm. And after they're trained, then some of them get to become part of the Weekend Institute, which is here, held in Albany, New York. It usually for 3 days. Last year, well, this past PRILI, it was virtual. So we had students in a virtual Zoom world for Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a Monday. Mm-hmm. So the weekend, like I said, usually takes place in Albany. They come and they train the students. They become part of different workshops, developing leadership skills. The leadership program offers 6 different workshops, like drama, media, oration, all of that, where the students are they become very familiar with public speaking. They become very familiar with having their own voice heard. We had amazing workshop for the students. I don't know if Kimberly remembers that we have Adelante Students Voices, which is a nonprofit organization that helps students, undocumented students, go to college with different pathways. We also had Carlos is now with us for the second year. He also has a nonprofit organization to send letters to detain immigrants at the ICE centers. So this is very powerful for our students because a lot of our students either are related with the topic or have family that are being, you know, they're undocumented or immigrants. So we try very hard to find interesting workshops and activities for our students where they can find their voice and develop their public speaking and leadership skills. That's what we do on Saturday. On Sunday is the highlight of the weekend, which is our mock assembly. We go to the Reno Assembly Chamber here in Albany. Mm-hmm. It's all for us on that Sunday from 9 to 5. And we have, I know you're going to ask me this later, but we have the two caucuses, mm-hmm. the Democrats and the Republicans. Mm-hmm. And this is where the students speak out. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, present their strong arguments on the bills. And then the specialty roles like majority leader and minority leader, they write down those strong arguments in the students, and they will be called out when the actual mock assembly takes place later in the afternoon. After the mock assembly, there is another highlight of the weekend, which is the student recognition dinner. In this dinner, we recognize the students in different scholarships. First, we got a SOMO scholarship. SOMO is an identity, a nonprofit identity that really, oh my God, we owe them so much. It's over $500,000 that SOMOs have given Prilite students. So SOMOs works hand in hand with Prilite. It's like the adult Prilite, that's what we call them. Mm-hmm. SOMOs has two conferences, one in November in Puerto Rico and another one in March, the same weekend as us, because we, outstanding delegates, which is one student from each delegation, represents that delegation and goes to SOMOs for their Saturday night event, and then SOMOs comes to Prilite for the Sunday night recognition dinner. So besides the SOMOs scholarship, for the past, let's say not this year because it was COVID and it was kind of hard for us and SOMOs, but the year before, we were given $50,000 in scholarship. Oh, and the scholarships are given to the students that submit an essay about the topic of the year. Mm-hmm. This year was civic readiness. So, and then all of our activities, the Saturday, Sunday, and Monday activities are all correlated to that specific topic that we chosen for the year. Mm-hmm. So civic readiness is our big topic. And of course, like this year, our speaker, keynote speaker was Dolores Huerta. So can you imagine? She was awesome, and she really is the most outstanding speaker for civic readiness. So that's on Sunday. That all takes on Sunday. On Monday, we usually have another different type of activities for the students. Like the year before, we had an alumni panel from past Prilite alumni, mm-hmm. and they were amazing because they tell the students their story. When they were in high school, when they became part of Prilite, mm-hmm. what did Prilite mean for them? Mm-hmm. What did Prilite did with them? Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, now they, 20 years later, what are they doing?
Yeah.
So it was incredible. It was really, really incredible. I love that panel. So hopefully we'll have it again sometime. Yeah. And then our third phase is what the students take with them back to their high school advocacy, mm-hmm. Their community's work. We really plant the seed for them to grow. And then the last stage of the Prilite is the Washington Outstanding Delegate Educational Trip.
Right.
with this year is going to be virtual. We'll be meeting virtually with different Congress people. Mm-hmm. We have the next, on Monday, we'll be meeting in a Zoom with Paul Tonko. We have questions for him, and he has many federal government skills and different ideas to share with the students. That is what PRILITE is, mm-hmm. and what has been for the last 31 years. It's an amazing program.
Yeah, that is. It is an amazing program, and I think it's interesting that you emphasize the process leading up to the mock assembly, and then the steps and the steps that students take after the process. I think that's really important, because that's the powerful piece, right? Because they become agents of change, and they take this out into their community. So I think that's one of the great things, one of the many great things about PRILI. Kimberly, do you want to share a little bit about what that experience, what the training was about?
Sure. So I remember for us, it was basically just like the funnest day of, it was a couple times a month. And then they would just take us to a bus and we would go to the BOCES building, and it would be such fun. Like it seems like a lot because it was a whole day training, but it really went by because you get to meet so many people and debate everything and have so many transferable skills that I've been using, especially after the second year, because then you already know the basics, you know how it works, you really get to experience it a lot more, and then going to the assembly and using those and meeting people from all other districts.
Right.
Was really great. Like I had a great time, and some of the people that I met through PRILITE I still talk to, and we hang out and everything. It really was a really fun experience.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's great. And I also wanted to point out too that with the process of the mock assembly, basically these positions are you identify students throughout the state for these specific positions. Deanna, can you talk a little bit about that? Just talk about like what that process is like.
Specialty roles.
Yes.
I love when the delegations give out the specialty roles. Like I send out a spreadsheet, and you know, depending on what specialty roles they had in the past, mm-hmm. they signed up for the specialty role they would like to have for this specific year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if Syracuse turned for the governor, so Syracuse will have the governor. And then what they do, the delegations do with those specialty roles is usually they have the own student self-advocate for those specialty roles, which I love, because students have to present themselves and they have to fight for that role if they really want it.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to see this very democratic process on choosing the specialty roles. So there's many specialty roles, like we mentioned. So like the opening remarks, the closing remarks for the day, and then the specialty roles that take place in the mock assembly, like the governor, the speaker of the house, the majority and minority leader, the minority whip and the minority whip.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, they're powerful.
Yep.
And they get a specific training to that takes place in their delegation, and they get to practice with their own rest of the students delegate. And we also have two Zoom meetings with them, and we run the whole script of the mock assembly for them, and it's amazing. And they really take on that specialty role. Like the governor becomes the governor of New York State.
Yeah.
The speaker of the house, we gave her last year's the gavel, and she bangs that gavel like it is. So she's in charge of that mock assembly, really.
Yeah.
These students are amazing. They really take on what they learn in PRILITE and put it in process.
Yeah.
And we actually see this, the outcome in the weekend. We are so impressed by their work, and we see the work of the trainers, all of it. We see it on the weekend.
Yeah, and just the culmination of all of the students. I mean, basically, it's run by the students, all the students, and it's just amazing.
It's all about the students.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right. It's all about the students. Absolutely.
If you don't mind me jumping in,
absolutely.
I actually had a specialty role my last year.
Great.
I had sponsor of the bill, which was really fun because I shared it with somebody else too, and the person that we were representing, the Congress, the assembly member, actually wrote a letter and left in his desk. for us, and we got to read it, and he said kudos and, you know, good luck, everybody. I'm really proud of what you've accomplished and everything. And as the sponsor of the bill, I really had to learn the bill and become the expert of the bill. I don't think I've ever learned any piece of legislation as well as I have that one bill.
Yeah.
And then you get to present it, and then everybody asks you questions about it, which is really nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But it's really, it makes you prepare in such a different way and really understand what that assembly member has to do as his job every day. It was amazing, and I really loved it. It was a different challenge, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, because you, not only do you have to get familiarize yourself with the bill, but you have to kind of back it up with data, with evidence, right? And you have to be prepared with that because they challenge you on that.
Oh, yeah. I had a whole notebook with all my sources and everything. You got to flip through and be ready.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting, but very fun.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's great. And so
very well described, Mrs. Rivera.
Thank you, Diana.
Yeah. So these are just examples of the opportunities that are available for students when they participate in the program, which is awesome. So we kind of talked about like the overview of the program itself. But in terms of the curriculum and the learning process, what major skills do you focus on during this process?
We follow the New York State Next Generation Standards for Social Studies from grade 9 to 12. We do emphasize that the trainings are for students grade 11 and 12,
mm-hmm.
but there are some delegations that still train students in 9th grade and 10th grade, mm-hmm. even though they're not allowed to come to the weekend. We allow them to be trained in their local delegations, which is great because by the time they get to be in 11th and 12th grade,
mm-hmm.
they're experts. They're totally experts, okay?
Right.
So besides following the next generation standards for the social study,
mm-hmm.
We also train them in critical thinking framework.
Right.
This is our framework that students, we send every year a booklet of how to write a winning essay.
Mm-hmm.
We have for them videos, we have step-by-step, we have presentations, and we send them this little book from the Critical Thinking Organization. So these are our two main branches, main forces to train our students.
Great. So, and as you mentioned, throughout the process, the students, the participants, they are exposed to community leaders, many community leaders in government, in the community as well. What are the benefits for the students for that exposure?
Okay, just an example. For the past 2 years, we have had with us Presidente Abidan Rodriguez. He is the first Hispanic Puerto Rican president of SUNY Albany. And he has become one of our guest speakers for the students. And it's so powerful because he shares his story with the students when he was in high school and how he, you know, being a mechanic after high school, choosing a technical career and wanting more, then he did his bachelor, master, and doctorate degree, and how he became the president of SUNY, you know, he's right here in Albany with us. So we just, you know, called him and always ask him to share his story with the students. And now we also have this college kind of life to share with the students. And we have held our Pride Light Saturday activities for the past 3 years at SUNY Albany also. So this is very powerful and touching for the students. We really want to encourage the higher education. So that's one of the pathway, having these educational models for them. We also have with us now this year, she is the Commissioner of Education, Dr. Betty Rosa. She has been with us forever. I've been with this program for 3 years, and I met her 3 years ago, and she's amazing, and she's also Puerto Rican, and she talks Spanish, and you know, it's so powerful when the students see these kind of models. You know, people that were like us, or like them, the students, and become these, you know, amazing position Hispanic leaders. It's amazing. So we try to provide them different aspects and different models for students to, you know, kind of picture themselves mm-hmm. in the future. We really work hard with this.
Yeah. And oh, absolutely.
The students really appreciate to meet these wonderful people. Mm-hmm. This year, our keynote speaker, like I mentioned, Dolores Huerta. Oh my God, she was amazing. She's still amazing. She's 90 years old and still very powerful. Last year, we had a leadership, Juana Borlas. Her book is just all about Hispanic leadership.
Okay.
And the year before, we had Julissa Arce, an undocumented student from Mexico who went all the way to work in the stocks in New York City. Oh my God. So these people really share their stories with the students, and I feel the power, and I know they do too. So we really work hard to try to, you know, make this weekend and the whole training process something that it is life-changing for the students.
Yeah, thank you. Kimberly, do you want to add something about that experience?
I think Diana's absolutely right. I remember watching the keynote speakers and everything and just being amazed. I remember the speaker that she mentioned that went to New York City as an undocumented student mm-hmm. and just thinking like, oh my God, that's amazing. I myself also pursued higher education, and Prilai has definitely helped with that. It's just, she's right. When you see the speakers and you feel identified with the speakers, it really does inspire you. It's a different experience.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you. So, you know, we kind of talked about the, you know, the aspect of, you know, the team building and, you know, connecting with the community. But let's talk about the cultural piece. You know, how does participation in this program contribute to students' cultural connections?
We go for it. We try to encourage the students the importance of our backgrounds, of our roots.
Right.
Remember, Juana Bordas last year made an incredible piece for this, because she, one of the workshops was the mural one, and they made this mural, an amazing mural, about ¿Y tu abuela dónde está? That means, and your grandma, where is she? Like, where are your roots? Mm-hmm. The importance of being Mexican from Costa Rica, from Dominican Republic, from Cuba, from Puerto Rico. These are our roots, and they should be very important and part of our life. So we also try to have them see the importance of having a second language, Spanish. We are all Hispanic in this program. Is the Puerto Rican Hispanic Youth Leadership Institute. It's Puerto Rican because Angel del Toro was Puerto Rican, and he started with Puerto Ricans, but then it was spread out to the rest of the state and to other Hispanics. So that's why the name. So we really encourage the language, the culture of Hispanic and Latino in all of our students. Some of them kind of feel a little bit sad because they haven't gotten the opportunity to see the culture. Mm-hmm. They haven't had the opportunity to learn the language. And when they come here, we do this bilingual. Right. We make the students feel comfortable mm-hmm. If they don't feel comfortable to speak in English, we let them speak Spanish. So the bills are debated in Spanish, some of them. Mm-hmm. The arguments are presented in Spanish. I personally, myself, for the last 3 years, I've been having a keynote speaker that also speaks Spanish. Mm-hmm. And I tell them to please use the Spanish language, because we have some students that do not, you know, are not proficient in English.
Right.
So this is very important for us. I myself, when I do my remarks, I do them in both languages. I try to translate the most that I can. I've been working with all the forms, doing them in both languages, because we do have newcomers arriving from, I remember Victoria 2 years ago from Syracuse. Mm-hmm. She was just 5 months in Syracuse from Dominican Republic, and her first language was Spanish. Mm-hmm. I tell them myself, I've been here in this country for 3 years and a half. My first language is Spanish. And I want them to feel comfortable with the language. I don't want them to feel uncomfortable, right, with people speaking just English. So I try as much as possible to have our whole weekend bilingual. Mm-hmm. I even having the leadership program take care of that in the workshop. So I really push for language, and I really push for our culture. So this is important. It's our roots. It's where we come from. And if they don't know because it's second or third generation, I make sure they learn.
Do you want to add anything?
Sure. I myself came from Guatemala 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I was already pretty in touch with my Hispanic roots, but I lived in a mostly white school in Baldwinsville, New York. So there were like five of us that were Hispanic. And out of the five of us, three of us went to Prilai. And going to Prilai, really, I met my first Guatemalan person that I met in the United States at Prilai, which was so exciting. And then meeting and everybody being able to talk about that part of myself that I wasn't able to in school or in my community was just amazing. And being able to share in those experiences, like I know my friend Justo, from last year, mm-hmm. he was also literally moved from Cuba like a month or two before the program. And so helping him learn too and adapt and, well, not only adapt, but also combine both cultures was a really great experience and really helped me get in touch with that part of my culture that I had not been able to before. It was amazing.
Yeah, that part of your identity that was missing. Right?
For sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's it. We really work on that too.
Yeah. And so just to kind of make a connection with Arburn, Mid-State Arburn works with school districts with regard to English language learners. And so, you know, this is, you know, very near and dear to our hearts as well. And we always make sure that, you know, when we have sessions that we have an interpreter available for, you know, with headsets for the students who need the translation. So that they are getting access to all of the content all the time. So that's really important. So these networking opportunities that the students experience, and maybe this is a question that I should pose to Kimberly, because you know you have all of these networking opportunities, you have all this training. How is that carried over into your work post high school?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of transferable skills, obviously, leadership, communication. Deanna mentioned a lot of public speaking. That, for sure, has been a huge help. I personally didn't go into anything that's specifically legislative, like law. I'm going into business. But I think that's just a testament of how transferable these skills are, because even in business and going to these classes and stuff, I had a class that was all about communication. And a lot of the skills that I learned through Prilai, I was able to directly apply to everything I did. There were a lot of presentations and also just with general confidence, because after you speak in public, you really feel like you can do pretty much anything in terms of talking. Right. It's so nerve-wracking, but it's really like, it does help a lot. And so all of that, especially just a freshman in college, regardless of your career, you have to really put yourself out there and talk to people if you want to meet anybody. And going to the assembly was a part of that too, networking with other students in other assemblies. I know that when I went down to Ithaca for college, I met up actually with one of the students that had already graduated from Prilai that I met from Ithaca High School there. And it was so fun to see her. Like, we wouldn't have known each other otherwise. Mm-hmm. And also just applying to college, you know, having Prilai as something, a tool in my toolbox, you know, something that I could put in there that is evidence that I know these leadership skills, these communication skills really helped in my application, especially because it also shows part of my culture. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just like a general, like, workshop that you do. It has intrinsic value in being Hispanic as well. Mm-hmm. And that not only college application, but carrying over after that, I think was really helpful.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, that confidence piece, right? It just kind of spills out into everything.
Absolutely. Right? Any conversation.
Yeah, right. Right. Deanna, did you have anything that you wanted to add to that?
Oh, she was perfect.
Okay. All right. All right, awesome.
She's a perfect example of a Prilai alumni.
Yeah, right.
And I just want to mention that some of our Prilai alumni are actually trainers in different delegations. Yes. We have more than 10 across the state mm-hmm. that were PryLite alumni, and now they're trainers. Mm-hmm. So this is what PryLite did for them. This is such a powerful program that they actually want to give back to their communities, mm-hmm. being a trainer.
Yeah, this year I returned. It was online, so I was not able to be a trainer, but I did go for the first session just to say hi to the students.
Oh,
and
awesome.
I saw some familiar faces that hadn't graduated yet from my session, and it was so great to just tell my story, you know, if anybody needed help with college application and stuff, because a lot of kids, they're fresh from their country. They don't know about college applications or senior, and it's also stressful. So having those perspectives from other students who have gone that process or that are more used to it because they've been living in America for longer time, I think it's really helpful for them. You know, I gave out my SAT book to somebody I met in PryLite, actually, so that he could use it. And I think having that connection helps a lot.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, when you talk about students who are just arriving to the United States, they sometimes don't know how to do school and they don't know how to do college, and having, you know, having people like that, like you, to support them is so essential.
Yeah, it's so confusing already over the everything else that you have to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, Kimberly, you know, you talked about that intrinsic transformation. But Diana, maybe you could just talk about the impacts of attending the program. What are the examples of accomplishments of alumni that you know of after they graduate?
Well, like we mentioned before, some of the alumni are trainers, and we have them all over the state and the nation. We have lawyers, we have nurses, we have people in private business, we have agencies, agent workers, we have bankers, we have in politics, some of them have become very, very interested in politics, and we have them major in politics. We have Mario, one of the trainers, he's actually at SUNY Albany finishing his degree in politics. We have teachers, we have, oh my God, it's a no end story about them, and they're incredible. That's why we thought of the idea of having a PryLite alumni, because we wanted them to share their stories with the PryLite students from that specific year,
right.
And it was amazing. We have them work hand in hand with us to spread the word out, to recruit new students, and to also work in the delegations. And some of them are part of the Arburn, like Kenneth.
Yes.
We have, in New York City, we have many of them becoming, even though they're teachers, they have become trainers for the New York City delegation. So it's the power of this program. It's the power of what we do with the students that they really want to come back and, you know, share their stories, their experiences, their knowledge with the new students. So that's why we have them back.
Yeah.
We really appreciate this.
Yeah, it's very powerful, I think, very powerful. Again, contributing to that identity piece, right? So I know we talked about this already, about participants becoming more familiar with their culture. Is there anything else that you might want to add in terms of cultural identity that we haven't really discussed yet? Is there anything?
I don't know if I mentioned that we always end up in each of the year's program saying many times somos uno. That means we are one.
Yeah.
Even though I try to mention all the countries, I really try to make that list.
Yeah.
And we shared cultural pieces from each of the countries. We shared, like, the students talk about their food, their, you know, music, their specific culture from that country. We all share about this. But at the end, you know, we're still all Hispanic, we are all Latino, so somos uno, we are all one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very important piece. PryLite is a Hispanic program, and it's not that we don't want to share this with other type of students, but this is for us. This is for our student. This is for our community. And this is a program where they can feel safe, where they can feel appreciated, where they can share anything. It's just like I mentioned, when Julissa Arce stood up as our keynote speaker 3 years ago, and she stood up in the auditorium of the SUNY Albany campus, and she said that she was an undocumented student who then became a citizen, and she told the students her story.
Yeah.
We had students stand up in the auditorium and saying, yes, I am undocumented and I want to go to college. What's my next step? Wow. Help me, please. And that was, you know, tear-wracking. We really wanted to make sure that these students have the help. That's why we have brought for 2 years Adelante Students Voices, because they work with these type of students.
Mm-hmm.
We need them to make sure that they feel safe and then they have the right opportunities for them to, you know, pathways to get to college. We want our students to get a higher education. That's one of our goals too.
Right, thank you. Yeah, I was just thinking about one of the exercises that that we usually do at our training is the I Am poem?
Yeah.
Remember the I Am poem?
I remember.
Yeah, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, so I remember this is session number one every year.
Yes.
You just make a poem about your culture, and I know a lot of people do it in Spanish, some people do it in English. I decided to go a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
I know Ken always brings his example
yes.
poem. This year they did it too. I had to read out my own, which was a little embarrassing because 1 year ago, you know, you see back on your writing and you're like, oh geez. But that was really fun because it really sets up kind of the fact that the culture is such a big part of it from day one.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody shares their poems. I mean, only if they're comfortable, but still.
Right.
Hearing other people and where they're from and also seeing the differences between other, because even though we're Hispanic, we each have our own experiences,
right.
but also the similarity and the running vein throughout them that this is the culture that we share in, and that we're all Hispanic, we're all, we have similar family experiences, we have similar complaints, different issues, and it's just, it's a really great way to start off the program by just sharing in that piece of culture and just like sharing in your identity and being part of this community is really special.
Yeah, and I remember the vulnerability, you know. It really is a sense of vulnerability to share these poems, right?
Right.
And sometimes people would get emotional, and it was very powerful. And wow, what a way to build community, right?
Absolutely.
Right, among all the other things, but what a way to a great way to start. So maybe we could share a couple of examples, if you're comfortable with that.
Sure, I'd have to pull it up somewhere.
Okay. All right, maybe we can share that with our listeners, just to get, you know, just to give them a sense of you know, what that looks like.
Sure.
All right, awesome. So so Kimberly, I have some questions for you, specifically as a participant. So tell us how many years you participated in PryLife.
So I did 2 years, junior and senior year. I graduated in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And then both years I got to go to the assembly at the end, which was really special to me too.
Yeah. Did you have a specialty role both times or just the one?
Just the second time. Mostly they try to keep those for seniors to have that experience your last year before
mm-hmm.
you go.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So in your own words, how would you explain leadership?
Boy, I think leadership isn't so much about yourself, but about your team.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about, I don't think leadership is like a skill exactly that you have, but more about recognizing the skills in the people in your team and then trying to help them bring it out. And so it's a lot, leadership really depends on you having a team. You can't be a leader by yourself. And so working with people and making sure that everybody is doing their best, especially with what they are best at. And so recognizing, oh, this person can do this and this person can do this, so let's bring the team together and work as for that goal, I think is what makes a leader special. It's just working as a team, but for the goal that the team has.
So how specifically does that relate to your experience with PryLife?
Sure, so a lot of times with PryLife, we had a lot of like different activities that we had to do in teams and changing those dynamics because it wasn't always the same group of people was really interesting. I know we did a breakout box, and in that you really have to work fast, and you have to, like, having these challenges together as a group really makes you think in a leadership sort of mindset, mm-hmm. because you have to finish the goal, and you have to work with people. And since these are people that you've been working through sessions, you already know them, so you can be like, okay, I know you are really great at maps, and so one of the challenges has to do with maps. Let's bring your skill out. And especially since, you know, we're all learning to be leaders, but we can't all be leaders at the same time, so I think having those multiple sessions and multiple type of challenges helps as well. I know one of the things that we did was recognizing what type of leader you are, because not every leader is the same. And so thinking about, you know, some people go for the more emotional side, so recognizing the emotional needs of the group and how we can help those that might need a little bit more help versus the more logical, like, planner type leader. And working together in those type of skills, I think, really helped. And developing individually only as well. So I think that was a big part of it, was just working through the challenges together and recognizing your own capabilities as a leader.
And you touched on an important point, too, about that, you know, not everybody is a leader at the same time, right? Everybody, and so you really have to know, like, when to step up and when to step back.
Right, and I think changing, like, the groups that did the different challenges helped with that. Yeah. Because, of course, there's people who are already kind of leaders, and they're ready to jump up to action. Yeah. But sometimes you don't have those people in a group. And so other people that are not used to that role have to step up and really kind of develop those skills. Mm-hmm. And I think Prylight did a really good job with that.
And, you know, a lot of times it might have to do with confidence, right?
Right.
And so building that confidence, you know, helps you to step up and when you need to.
Absolutely. And especially because since it's such a, like Deanna mentioned, a safe place, you know, where we're all, we know what we're doing. We know that we're all here to develop these skills. And so when somebody needs a little bit more help, you know, everybody was really helpful and cooperative with that, yeah. trying to make sure that person gets a little bit more help. Mm-hmm. I know, especially for some kids that don't know English as well, I know they get very shy and very nervous because they're not confident in that. Right. But since most people have some Spanish skill, or at least, like, they know that they need help, right. they're able to develop that as well and be confident and learn to be leaders even when they don't have that confidence in the language.
Awesome. So talk a little bit about being an agent of change. What is that? Explain to us what that means.
Sure, it's a very abstract term, yeah. I think, just agent of change, but I think it that allows it to be applied to a lot of things. I think we all think of, like, Martin Luther King or, like, mm-hmm. big roles, mm-hmm. but I don't think it has to be that big. I think just small actions can also be an agent of change. Just to bring an example, in Prylai, you know, some of the students that I met too, I think being able to help each other just makes it an agent of change because you're changing somebody's life. Like I mentioned, my friend Justo, who I met, who had been in the country not for long, and helping him out with that knowledge that he wasn't, because I know his counselor at school was doing their best, but they were not able to help him as much as he needed. And so being able to help him with, like, college application and kind of the information that he needed to get through in America in this different culture change, just that can be part of being an agent of change, is just making one person's life a little easier, helping them develop their own kind of perspective. But in a wider scale, it can also be like starting a community. I know that a lot of people that learn these skills through Prylai go on in their own communities and use these skills to be an agent of change, you know, be involved in more Hispanic type of activities, more legislative type of activities, and then that can grow, and you can be an agent of change in any skill, I think. And I think just starting with the small one really helps develop that for a larger scale.
How did the experience contribute to your future accomplishments?
Sure. So I was a senior in high school, and I was going through Prylai and also college applications, and it was really nerve-wracking, but it was really helpful too. I applied to Cornell University, which where I'm going right now, and I'm a business student there. And a lot of what I did in PryLite, as I mentioned before, I use there too. But also, like, community-wise, I return to PryLite a lot, and I think about what I learned there when I apply it to my classes and to my community at Cornell. For example, I'm part of the Cornell Speech and Debate Society.
Wow.
Kind of a mouthful, but just like PryLite.
Yeah.
But awesome. They have a Spanish debate team too, and debating is a big part of PryLite, of course, mm-hmm. you know, with the bills.
Right.
And now it's just, there's more topics that you debate. Mm-hmm. And so using those Spanish debating skills and the English debating skills that I learned there in that club at Cornell was really helpful. I'm always pulling from some of the training that I remember from there.
Yeah.
And then just the community itself too. I know that Ken keeps in touch. He's always checking in.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to come back, as I mentioned, last one virtually, just to say hi to the group, and I'd love to do it again.
Yeah.
And maybe one day be a trainer. I don't know. It's such a great, like, community to be part of.
Yeah.
And everybody's always so friendly there. And I know that as I continue going through my college experience and then professionally, I'll always keep that in mind and try to develop those skills further.
That's awesome too, that you're still building on those skills.
Right.
You learned them, but you're still building on them. So that's awesome. So Deanna, did you hear that? She might be interested in being a trainer in the future. So make a note.
That is going to be powerful. Yeah. And I'm so happy that what the skills that Kimberly learned during mm-hmm. PryLite, she's using them at college.
Yes.
So grateful to hear that those skills are helping you to develop more skills in college.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love it. So for those who might be watching or listening, what would you say to someone who might want to be an agent of change but doesn't quite know how to do it?
I think a big part of it, and this is very cliche, I think everybody says it all the time, but it really is kind of the most important part, is just taking that first step, that leap of faith.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of times we stop ourselves before we even begin because we're scared. We think, well, I don't know, like, I don't think I can start that. I don't think I can be the one who, like, takes the first step. But I think that anybody can do it, really. And it's just the hardest part is to get over that fear and begin. You know, being the person who starts a club in school, being the person who reaches out to somebody who you think might need help and say, hey, I'm here for you, what do you need? Stuff like that. And I think also being an agent of change isn't always what we think it is. And so adapting that definition to whatever you need it to be, you know, what are you interested in? And then how can you use that to make a change, right? It doesn't have to be what everybody else is doing. Like, if you specifically like math and you're thinking about how that can help you, you can start tutoring, you can, like, get involved in some activities that already exist and then help further change in those, because it doesn't always have to be about starting something. It can be joining something and then helping it grow and helping it become more of what you think it could be. And so I think there are multiple ways to be an agent of change, and figuring out what that means for you and implementing it in your life is really what I would say is the best advice I can give.
That's beautiful. Beautifully said.
Thank you.
Beautiful. It was beautiful. I think I'm going to cry. It was beautiful. Somos uno.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you? I know Deanna talked about what it means, but what does it mean to you?
Yes. Deanna mentioned it means we are one, and I think it really does bring it all together. You know, we're all different. We have different backgrounds in Hispanic countries. Like, some people are second generation. Some just came from their country. Different levels of language, different experiences and dreams and goals. But when we're proud of the program, we really are one, because we have a shared goal in mind, and that brings us together. We all want to be part of this assembly. We all want to learn these skills. We want to be part of the Hispanic culture overall and grow together. And so I think that Somos Uno just brings together the message of community that PryLite brings. I know that it's a lot of times it's difficult to, like, find a community that you really fit in.
Right.
There's so many, like, different types of communities, and it's so hard to find one that you really feel home in. And I think PryLight is a great opportunity to find that community there, just because everybody's always so open and friendly, and because your culture is something that is always going to stay with you and your roots, and accepting those and being a part of those starting at a young age, I think it's really important, because you can carry that with you. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people who are second generation, they don't feel in touch with that anymore, or they never did maybe. They never learned Spanish, they don't know much about it, and so being part of PryLight can help with that, and then maybe they can help their children be part of that as well, and maybe teach them Spanish and grow a little bit more. And just as a whole, the Hispanic community really benefits from having this somos uno mindset.
Yeah. And you made me think of an observation that I made one year when I attended the program. I didn't participate in it, but I remember being at the recognition dinner, and I remember all the kids were on the dance floor, and there was a song on that was in Spanish. And everybody knew the words, and everybody was in sync. Everybody was singing, and they were moving all together. It was just amazing, because you're connecting, you know, not just as a group of students, but you're also connecting on a cultural level.
Absolutely.
You know, and it was very powerful, a very powerful observation for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it just goes to show, you know, the deep connections that are made going through this process.
It's part of our culture.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So I would like to switch over. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts.
No problem.
Diana, I have some specific questions for you that I would like for you to share, if you wouldn't mind. So I think you mentioned that you've been part of the program for 3 years, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. What is the importance of the programs for youth today?
PryLight is one amazing program that reunites students, Hispanic students from all across the state. I wish there were more programs like this. Mm-hmm. I wish that when I was in high school, there were programs like this, where we can share knowledge and all this amazing cultural peace and all these new skills that we all, you know, learn and share with our students. PryLight, it's like a program that gives the opportunity to students to, besides feeling great about culture, being themselves, offering a safe place. We teach them communication skills, we teach them public speakings, we try to teach them how to find their career path. Mm-hmm. We use so many different, maybe we call them activities along the trainings and the weekend to try to provide them with these future new, let's say, skills that will help them out in the future. Just like Kimberly mentioned, she feels more secure. She feels more confident in college. So this is what we do with our students. I have even parents come to me and say, my daughter was so shy. She hardly talked. And now she, you know, stands up in front of 300 people and advocates for herself and advocates for other and can present arguments on the bills. And, you know, she's done the closing remark for Sunday. So this is an A+ for us. This is what we really take, what, you know, students share with us. You know, I'm hearing Kimberly and I'm like, oh my God, look, you know, this is so emotional. This is so wonderful.
Yeah.
And when parents also share this with us, it's just that we are doing a good job.
Yeah.
We want PryLight out there. We train over 400 students across the state. Only 200, because of budget-wise, are allowed to come to the institute. And seniors have priority, just like Kimberly mentioned.
Okay.
But we want to be able to train more students, because we are just touching a small part. Let's say an example, in Kapa District, where I am from, we train, let's say 25 students. But come on, there's so many Hispanics in Albany. And a lot of students, like I asked them, where did you hear Pride from? We started to go to the schools. We started to get in contact with ENL teachers, counselors, and we started to go to the school at lunch hour and talk about Pride and have counselors, you know, reach out to Hispanic students and tell them that there will be like a Pride talk at lunchtime if you're interested. Yeah. And we make the arrangement. And we also brought alumni with us, right? But we need to spread the word. We still have so much to do, so much work to do, and so many students to reach out to, to reach out there, because their Pride Light is just a small piece of our Hispanic students in the whole New York State.
Right, and I was also thinking about the New York State seal of civic readiness.
Readiness and seal of biliteracy.
Yes, and the seal of biliteracy, yes. And so those are really important pieces, and I think, you know, using those to kind of promote Pride is, you know, they go hand in hand.
Yeah, right. One of the Arburn specialists from your delegation from Syracuse is Maria Fintham, and she is a go-to for the seal of biliteracy.
Yes, she
Maria
is.
Maria started with our Pride students, and formed a committee for the seal of biliteracy. Now, our Pride students have a pathway for the seal of biliteracy. Doing Pride gives them points towards obtaining the seal of biliteracy. They only have to just, you know, complete their requirements, and done, you get the seal. This is a very, very important, you know, piece of high school for our Spanish speakers.
Yeah.
So we are trying to make sure that all the delegations have a contact person for the seal of biliteracy. We are sharing information with them to provide the seal for the students to, you know, have the students apply for the seal. And not just the seal of biliteracy. Now, this coming year, the seal of civic readiness. We already started with the committee and the pilot program, and we push an alumni, myself, and my school improvement chief officer. We went to a board meeting with the chancellor and everything, and we presented Pride for the seal of civic readiness, and they were amazed with the job that we do with students. So we also have now the path for the seal of civic readiness, which is also very important.
Absolutely.
This tells the colleges, you know, the workforce, you know, that these students are special. They are fluently in another language, in Spanish, and it could be a third language, and then civic readiness. This is what Pride is all about.
Right.
We work with civic readiness. In all trainings and in all the institutes. So, you know, we just have a step forward to both of those skills.
Yeah, because these are credentials that go on their diplomas, on their high school diplomas. And, you know, what an amazing thing. Did you want to share something?
Actually, Maria helped me get the seal of biliteracy in Spanish, and it was really great. You get this little medal, and it's on your diploma, and you can also put it in the Common App and everything. And I also got it in French, too, because that's what I took in high school. And so, Diana's so right. Like, it was so easy with Pride. Like, literally, I didn't have to do anything but the requirements that I had. And it was, like, very easy because Spanish was already my first language.
Right.
And it's right there to show that you speak Spanish, because it's an easy way to put on your resume and for college and stuff like that.
That's amazing.
It is.
Great.
See, here's all of your hard work right here. The example of your,
right
of
there.
Your hard work.
Kimberly,
right
it's just an amazing she has an answer for everything.
Well, I mean, I think she's great to have here to share out, you know, the benefits of this program. That's the point of you know, this session, is to, you know, just to get the word out there and show what the benefits are and get people you know, heading in this direction to at their districts. So, yeah. So you've been with the program for 3 years, Deanna. How has it changed? Well, how has it changed from the beginning, and maybe over the last 3 years? And how is it? Where do you see it going in the future?
I have seen videos from the past 30 years, and it's always that life-changing experience for students.
Yeah.
It's always has been. It's always will. I have seen videos of keynote speakers and, you know, the different guests that Prilite brings every institute. But we are focusing more in each of the delegations training. We are focusing in we do have Spanish speakers in all delegations, which we really need, not just for the newcomers, but also, you know, for the students to feel, you know, more comfortable in which of the two languages to speak. We are trying very hard to train more students. Just like I mentioned, we are trying very hard to reach out to our Hispanic population. And this, I myself have been, you know, to Centro Cívico. I have been to different churches, you know, just bringing out the brochure, the flyer, speaking out to the parents. We are reaching out because we want more students involved. This is our main goal. This is such a wonderful program that we want more Hispanics involved. Sometimes I like to go to each of the delegations. I travel, put myself in trains and cars and visit all delegations, but I like to meet the students. Kimberly knows that I sit down with them in their table at lunchtime, and I just speak to them, like, what's your name? Where are you from? When did you come to this country? Things like that. And I, myself, present my own story. I tell them, I've been here for 3 years and a half. Hurricane Maria brought me here. I did have, in the past, my high school here. My English is not so very well, just like you guys. So I try for them to feel, you know, comfortable, because even though I'm an adult, you know, I'm just like them.
Yeah.
So that really helps them to feel more safe and comfortable. I love to share my story. I love for them to share their story with me. That's what I want. I don't want, you know, the statewide coordinator or the Albany people up here and, you know, everybody else. I make sure that all the trainers are well aware of what's going on in the planning. You know, I share emails with them. This is what's going on. This is what I need. I'm always, always in touch with all of them. And that's why I like to visit each of the delegations. And I love the post-Prilite reunions. Those are my favorite.
Yeah.
Because some of them have parents. The parents can also help us spread the word in their communities. So these are our goals, to spread the word and to train more students.
Awesome. Your passion for this work really shows through in everything you say.
It's been 3 years, and every year it's amazing. Every year it's a lot of work. Oh my God, it's a lot of work behind the scene.
Yeah.
But after Prilite Weekend, I said, oh my God, thank God, because everything was amazing. Everything worked out. It was just the way we planned.
How has this work transformed you over the last 3 years, would you say?
Oh my God, I was a school teacher. I was a school librarian. And then I'm in another country, and then this job was offered, and I said, I was a Prilite volunteer my first year here. So actually, I've been with Prilite for 4 years, because I volunteered the first year. And that year that I volunteered, I really pushed myself to be in all the trainings, and I also was part of the weekend, and I was in shock. I was totally in shock.
Yeah.
With what Prilite did with these students. Seeing that mock assembly, I was like, oh my God, they look just like legislators. They do it better than legislator. Oh my God. This was so amazing that I said, when they offered the job, I said, oh my God, can I do this? even though it's a lot of work and it's a lot of stress and I don't sleep, and the budget, I don't like it at all. But what we do with the students, what the outcome, just what everything that you heard from Kimberly, that, you know, covers everything else. That, you know, I forget all about, you know, those bad nights and, you know, all that hard work. I forget after I hear students like Kimberly, you know. This is a life-changing experience, and they really appreciate what they learn and they take away from Parkland.
Okay. What if you were to give, if you were to narrow it down to three, like the top three, what would be the three most important benefits of participating in this that you would want people to know about participating in Pride Life?
Especially students, they learn so much.
Yeah.
They learn about politics. They learn about skills. They learn about critical thinking. They learn about government. They learn about culture. Second will be networking. Just like Kimberly mentioned, she has friends. I have trainers that did Pride Life maybe 5 years ago that right now they are their best friends. Like Kenneth, a new Pride Life trainer from Syracuse, he's friends with my Mario, with my Alexandra, with my Savi that did Pride Life 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
You become friends forever.
Right.
So that networking piece is very, very important. And they just become a better person. You see Kimberly.
Yep.
Look at her.
Oh,
the
yeah.
way she talks, the way she expresses herself, the way she's in college, and they advocate for themselves and advocate for others. What else can you ask for?
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. So for our districts that perhaps are not as familiar with Pride Life, could you talk about, you know, some of the accomplishments of the students? I know we talked about the Seal of Biliteracy, and we talked about the Seal of Civic Readiness, but can you talk about, like, the available scholarships? I know we also talked a little bit about your award that you received from SOMOS, correct?
Yeah.
So can you talk a little more about the scholarships that are available?
Yeah, I want to make sure that everyone knows that there are so many scholarships available, especially for our Hispanic population. And a lot of them, you can find them in our webpage, prilight.org. There's a tab that says scholarship. You go in there, and it's not just for high school students. We also have scholarship for freshmen and sophomore in college students. So there is, I can't tell you how many scholarships we have noted in our webpage for students to apply to. I remember 2 years ago, one of our alumni applied for the scholarship that I mentioned that is on our webpage, and he became a winner, and he was able to go to New York City and receive the prize and everything, and not just, you know, the scholarship fund, but the opportunity and the experience that he got and earned from that scholarship. We also have, like I mentioned, the SOMOS Inc. scholarship, which are for students that are part of Pride Life, and that every year they have to submit an essay about the theme. Like I said, civic readiness was our this year's theme, so it's not too hard to apply. It's just following the steps. And Capital District students also have an opportunity with the Yesenia Valle scholarship. She was a trainer that passed away a few years ago, and her husband is so wonderful of having her being part of Pride Life every year, and he donates the scholarship for our students.
That's
too
wonderful.
So don't forget prilight.org scholarships.
Okay.
There's so many there available for our students.
That's good, and we'll be sure to share that resource when we share the link to the recording as well, for people that are interested in accessing that resource.
And not just scholarship, there's a whole information all about Pride Life in that webpage.
Okay, so for districts that might be interested in becoming involved, who would they reach out to?
I will say Auburn. Look at our page, right? Of course. They can reach out to me. I've received emails from parents, from teachers. But Auburn is a great, great pathway to PryLite. We have the resource specialists and consultants that work with our burn hand in hand on reaching out to our students and school districts.
Thank you. And really quickly, I know we've talked about the, you know, the seal of biliteracy and the seal of civic readiness, but how specifically did your participation in PryLite help you get the seal? Well, the seal of biliteracy, anyway.
Well, Maria, as Diana mentioned, was really the big involvement with the seal. She just told me everything that I needed to do. She signed the validation that I completed PryLite and that I was proficient in Spanish, and she helped me a lot with that. So any kind of like person who is involved with the program that is helping you fulfill PryLite will also help fulfill the seal of biliteracy, and then putting that in the college application does help a lot, for sure.
All right, wonderful. Well, you know, Diana, I want to thank you so much for sharing your passion and, you know, for all of the work that you do behind the scenes that nobody sees to make this program what it is. And Kimberly, I want to thank you for sharing your experience with everybody. And I'm so excited to see what your accomplishments will be.
Me too.
You will have to, you know, we'll have to do a follow up after, and you know, when you're done with college, and then we'll follow up and see where you are at that point.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so glad to come.
Oh, thank you so much for coming. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you so much for sharing your experiences in PryLite with us. That
thank
makes
you.
Me so proud.
Thank you.
Thank you too.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like to learn more about the brilliant guest we had on today's episode or any of the resources we discussed, please visit the Mid-State Auburn webpage. This podcast is produced by Mid-State Auburn at OCM BOCES, and our theme music is Catalyst from Purple Planet Music. We hope that you'll tune in next time for more of Our Burning Questions.